Man, it's so good to be back with you guys. Is this thing on? Am I on? Okay. It's so good to be back with you guys, man. It was a great 3 weeks, and I enjoyed my time away, and got to visit with my mom and worship in kind of the way I grew up in. That was a whole interesting other experience, and so I enjoyed that, and got to just really do nothing for a while. And I just want to say how much I really appreciate how much that you guys let that happen. You know, there's you can take a sabbatical, but if the phone keeps ringing and keep getting the texts and you keep moving forward through all those things, then it's really not a sabbatical. And to be honest, I probably should have unplugged a little bit more than I did, even as far as this phone is concerned. And my sweet wife, who's not here today, she's sick at home with a migraine this morning and just in the bed. I've never had one of those, and I don't want one. Watching her have them, I don't want them things at all. But she said, you probably could have took a week and just turned that phone off and not done anything with that thing. But no, it was great to have that time away. Can I just say a thank you to Russ and Caleb and Brendan? Can y'all give it up for them? Man, you guys all did great jobs, man, bringing the word. Brendan back in the saddle again after 3 years or so being out of preaching. And I just love it that I can go away and really nothing changes. That's what I know it sounds kind of like, you know, you say, I go away, nobody would care. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that God has blessed us with so many people here to just move things forward, and it is such a blessing. Before I go any further, can we just welcome our guests? We got a lot of new people here today. God bless you guys for being here. Whether you're here with family or if you just wandered through or wandered by and we're just checking out what's going on here, we welcome you. Can we welcome our online church? Hey, everybody back there. Glad you're here. Glad you're here. I also want to say kudos to my grandson, Robert. He's back on the lyrics today. Played over here on these drums last week. I can't talk about that much. I get all tore up. Y'all know me. I get tore up about stuff all the time. But I was so proud, man, to watch him. And what I loved about it was, and you guys who don't know, we do a development program here on Wednesday nights, and we just bring new people in that want to learn to play an instrument or sing or be a part of the worship team. And so when they come in, they just start learning how we kind of do things. And Robert's been working on this, y'all, for a long time doing this. And so to watch him turn loose, and what was the most impressive part of it to me, of course, he's worshiping God, number one. But he let go and sang. I don't know if any of y'all noticed it or not, but he's playing drums, and he's singing the song he's playing. Now, if you've never played percussion on a kit like this, you got your right hand and your left hand, and your legs are doing something different. To try to sing in the midst of that, that means he's letting it go, and that's wonderful, wonderful to see. I want to say, too, kudos to Todd and the whole Impact team. We've added 8 new partners to our church over the last 3 weeks. And I'm going to move a bunch. I'm going to probably knock that over today, but maybe not. And so that's awesome. And then, man, like the whole pinnacle of the whole time, and I was back to work last Monday, and last Wednesday night, Steve and Macy, is Macy here this morning? I don't know. I don't know if she's here this morning or not. But Steve's over here. We baptized Steve into Christ Wednesday night. And Macy, that was awesome. We learned that the heater for the baptistry works really well, doesn't it, Steve? It's great. Steve's like, man, it's a bath, man. I get up in here. Works really good. It's cold today. We'll still baptize you. But anyway, that was awesome. That was really awesome. And I want to say a word about next Sunday. It's hard to believe, and you guys who are originals were here at the beginning, but next Sunday marks our 7th anniversary as a church. 7 years. So, yeah. Praise God for anything good that is being done at all. And so I'm just excited about that. So next Sunday is kind of it's always Vision Sunday for me, and I will be presenting our vision all over again. And I do that every year. It's the very first message I preached in this church, and I do it every year just to remind me and all of us that our vision is central focused. And while we're growing, obviously, is God. And kudos to our prayer team and connecting with the Lord. But he's just given us so many good things and good tools to use, and our vision is one of them. And so we're going to be talking about that next Sunday. We hope you'll come back and be a part of that, all right? And has anybody heard anything about our new app? Anybody heard anything about that? Huh? Oh, nobody. Okay, well, nobody. Maybe you all have it. I don't know. I've been away for 3 weeks. Please go to your app store, whatever you do with your Google Play or app store or whatever, and download our app. It's where, very soon to be, where you're going to get all of your news and updates and anything that's going on here at the church. And so if you're like me and you're little tech, I'm pretty tech savvy for a 60-year-old man, but I'm still kind of old school on some things and stuff like that. So we're going to start removing the sending out of texts and that kind of stuff and really start notifying you through the app. So be on the lookout for that. So, and you need to search Discovery Church Athens. There's lots of Discovery Churches out there. Make sure you download Discovery Church Athens. And so today, I get the honor to end the series on character. And I want to start by the why of this whole series. Why do we have a series on character? And the reasons, the first note, by the way, if you came in, you were handed a worship guide. In that, there's some notes. If you want to pull those out and fill in some blanks, now's the time to do that. And the very first note on there is that the why of this series is that character matters because our testimony matters. What you and I say and do matters. And I know growing up in a very legalistic church, and everything was about everything that we did. We very rarely, I mean, we give glory to God and all those things, but we always focus on what either we did or didn't do. And it was either, if you do this or don't do that, you're lost or saved. And it was always this thing in my mind, like, I can't get it. I can't do it all. And it was a very difficult thing to live in. If you've ever lived in a legalistic religion, you know what I'm talking about. But in an attempt to get away from that, oftentimes we swing the pendulum way to the other side and say, it really doesn't matter what you do. God's going to save you anyway. And that's not true either. And so we're going to talk a little bit about how we're going to end this whole series about that, that Russ brought up the idea that we don't, the character that you're playing would be the character that you were before you were in Christ. I mean, prior to coming to the Lord, that's the character. The real you is who you are in Jesus. And I hope to drive that point home bigger and stronger even today. Caleb talked about being plugged. Remember the lamp illustration? Being plugged into the source. And if you don't plug yourself in to the source of life, then you will die. Can I just say that again? If you don't plug yourself into the source of life, you will die. You can't shine without power. You can't move without power. And bless our hearts, growing up, that was what we ignored was the power, was the very power by which we're supposed to be doing the things that we're supposed to do. It's not in me to do anything good, but it is in me through the power of the Holy Spirit to do anything that God wants me to do, and I can always follow that. So plug in. And then Brendan talked last week about hypocrisy and how that is a whole idea of that as an actor under an assumed role, and how that we're not going to be perfect. So when we're going to live in character, that means from time to time, as I got to look at Caleb and go, brother, I messed up. I got to confess that. I got to put that out there and turn from that and realize that living in Christ is not about living in that old person. How many of you this week have heard something? You don't have to raise your hand. This is just a thought question. How many of you this week have heard somebody say something to this effect? Well, that's just the way my life is. You know, I mean, I'm just, that's the way life is for me. I mean, just things are going to go bad. There's just nothing I can really do about it. And we bemoan our lives and we talk about our lives like it's the worst thing on the planet. I get heaven's going to be great. And it's going to be way different there. But y'all, we're not called to a life of doom and gloom. We're not called to a life of discouragement. We're not called to a life of depression and all those things. And you can blame it on whatever you want to in your life. But the answer you're giving yourself right now, if it's not Jesus, is the wrong answer. And it'll kill you. It will kill you. Maybe not physically, but it will certainly spiritually separate you from God. You see, it matters. Character matters because Jesus said, others will see your good deeds and glorify the Father who's in heaven. We're not pointing to us. I enjoy doing everything that we do here, but it's never a point to us. If it starts pointing to us, somebody needs to help me repent of that. We never want to put it out that it's us doing that. We do good deeds so that we glorify and people will see us and go, man, your God's great. Yesterday, we spent all day over here in the park and doing Hope for Athens. And some of thanks to our volunteers, man, hundreds of volunteers. God bless you guys, man. We helped a lot of people. I haven't got the final numbers on it, but preacher count was 10,000, 12,000, something like that. And I don't really have the whole numbers on it, but man, a lot of people came through and they received services from our area, and they received free groceries, and they received free haircuts and portraits and all these things. But the greatest thing they had the opportunity to receive was Christ. And I don't have the numbers on all of that, who did or who did not. But the point is that we've got to love on people and let people see what we're doing so that God gets the glory for all of that. Several times people would say, well, what church are you from or where are you from or whatever. What I loved about that event was it was the Big C church. It was everybody. We had people from every flavor church over there. And I picked at Lindsay Lane a little bit. They had a lot of people there. And they had their truck. They had their van and their trailer with their name on the side of it. I said, y'all see what y'all doing? Y'all advertising. That's what y'all doing. And one of the brothers said, yeah, but your church is right there. You got the best seat in the house, man. All these people, you see your church from here. And so, but we had a lot of fun with that, and it was really cool to see all these people who have different ideas about certain things in the Word come together in the name of Jesus, which is what it's all about. He's what it's all about. He's what it's all about. And so it was really cool to watch that happen. I really enjoyed that. So today we're going to talk about living in the joy of freedom with character. And I hope, y'all, I'm out of practice, but man, I'm just so fired up about this message, and I've worked on it twice, and just... We're going to see how this goes. I'm exhausted. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I'm tired, man. Yeah, my face does hurt, and I know it hurts you too, all right? So I got you. That joke has already been done, so we're good with that. The first point I want to make about this is character is more than just doing right or being right. It's more than just doing right or being right. It's all about looking at Jesus and reflecting what he does in our life or what he wants us to be in our life. The joy of living in freedom is that freedom is not in within us to be able to grab it. You can't have it. You can't get it, or you can't take it. Anything that's taken in the Bible is usually a negative thing. Eve took the fruit. You reach up and you take it from God, or you start trying to make it happen in your own way or my own way. We always are going to fall in that because Jesus is the center of who we are, and that's just really the whole message in a nutshell. We can't do it. We cannot do it. We reflect, we imitate, and here's how James challenges us to be Jesus in the world. James says in James 1, starting in verse 22, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror, and then seeing yourself and then walking away and forgetting what you look like. And so I brought a mirror with me. It's a little one. And I have to be careful with this for the front row because you guys will get blinded by the light. Oh, sorry. Did I get y'all? Y'all okay? Everybody good? Everybody good? I don't like mirrors. I've never been a big fan of mirrors. I don't like walking by them. I remember walking in the mall years ago. This has been many years ago. And they got the big plate glass windows and you can see your reflection as you're walking. And I just remember in my peripheral vision seeing myself walk. And I thought, that's my dad. I look just like my dad. I'm getting old just like my dad. And you start thinking these things, and it just looked like him. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not ready for that yet, because I was like really younger then. But we glance at ourselves in the mirror. How do you go to the mirror in the morning and you just go, man, ain't nothing I can do with that. Ain't just nothing I can do. I'm lost as a goose, you know. And then we paint it up, and we pull it up, and we, all these things that we fix it up. We try to fix it all up, and it's still just us there, right? And you don't look in a mirror and you just walk away and do nothing about it. And James is saying, if you look at the word and you walk away and never change your life about anything, then you're like a foolish man who does that. And if you stop the message there, that's where we would have stopped years ago. There it is right there. You got to do what the word says. If you don't do what the word says, then you're lost. And that was our theme. That was our theme. And it was not a bad theme. We want to do what the word says. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. And some of your translations will say the perfect law of liberty. Law of liberty that sets you free. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And my next question began to be over time, how can law set me free? And if you know your Bible at all, you know that it's kind of split into two big halves. You got your Old Testament and New Testament. If you know your history, you know the Jews had the old law, the Ten Commandments. They had the Ten Commandments handed down to them. They took the Ten Commandments and made 600 commandments out of it because they, in an attempt to do it all right, they did just what we did growing up in church. Well, if you can do this and you can't do that, what does that mean? How does that mean? How do I interpret that particular text? And how do I, if the Sabbath day has to be kept holy, then how do I do that? And they started making up rules like you can't build a fire and you can't get your ox out of the ditch and you can't do these different things. And they're like, what are we doing? And before long, they had this mountain of rules and things put on top of them. And then James comes along and says, do what the word says, obey the perfect law that sets you free. And you're thinking, well, James, you ought to know Romans by now. Come on, you read, the New Testament's being written. That's kind of a joke. But, I mean, James, they knew the writings of Paul, and they knew this, and all these things about grace and mercy and all these things. So how can a law make you free when Romans and Galatians says you can't keep a law? You can't do it. In fact, if you draw a line in the sand in your household, you guys got little kids. All of y'all got little kids. First time they ever mess up, the first thing you do is you declare, in this house, from now on, not, when you draw a line. You will not do this, or you will not do that. And when you draw a line in the sand, what is the next inclination of your children? What's on the other side of that line? Well, if that's so important, why? And then we start doing like we did in church. We see just how close we can get to the line without falling off. And that's pretty foolish. And so when you start drawing lines, you said there's no lines in the Bible. I didn't say that. I didn't say there weren't any rules in the Bible. I didn't say there weren't any rules in God's. I'm just saying how we're going to live in a law that sets you free. Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. See, the bad news is you can't keep a law. You can't. Some of you that keep the law, like driving, frustrate me. Get out of the way. Come on, man. There's a lane for you. I'm kidding a little bit. But y'all know what I'm saying, right? We fudge it all the time. We push against it all the time. And we do it because our natural inclination is what Eve did. Huh. Pew. It's exactly what we do. So we say, well, don't look at that. Don't go there. Don't lust. Don't do these things. And you draw the line in the sand. Well, what's so important about that? And you want to cross that line. You see, the good news is we don't have to because Jesus already did. And James, I used to think James argued with Paul. I used to think James said, you need to get saved by doing works. And Paul says, you need to get saved by having grace. And neither one of them contradicts each other. James explains it. James 2, he says this. He gives a great example of this law. He says, it is good when you obey he calls it the royal law. What is that? What is that? He says, as found in the scriptures. And then he gives it to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever tried to see that as a law? When you do, you start defining what you think love is for those people. I don't like them, so I'll just stay away from them. That's the most loving thing I can do. It's just not me. We start making up our own kind of things. Jesus didn't let us off the hook with that. He said, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. He says, he gives an example of what they were doing. But if you favor some over others, you're committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. James says, if you favor other people, if you talk to some and don't talk to others, For whatever reason you find in you, okay? And in this particular case, it was some were richer than others and some were poorer than others, and they just treated them differently. Treated them differently. He said, in favor of somebody, you commit a sin, you're guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all the laws except one. I don't know why we missed this when I was growing up. Except one. You're as guilty as the person who's broken all of them. For the same God who said you must not commit adultery also said you must not murder. So if you murder somebody but you don't commit adultery, you've still broken the law. And we'll even mess with that passage. Well, maybe murder is easier than adultery because he mentioned that first. And we start analyzing the scripture and making up our own rules about stuff he's not even trying to get us to do. He's trying to say if you break one, you've broken them all. How many of you be bold enough to say you've already broke one of God's laws? Some of you, before you woke up and got out of bed this morning, you done broke one of them. I don't know what that would be, but I mean, we do it all the time. And by the way, if you didn't raise your hands, you're either not a hand raiser or you just lied. And you broke a law. So you get legalistic with this stuff, man. It will drive you bananas. And I think that's why James goes on to say, so whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. Come on, y'all. That's the law I want to be judged by. What do you want when you go to court? You want mercy or you want justice? He even says later, he says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you've been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges. He gives the very example he's trying to teach, that loving other people means that you're going to just be merciful to them. You're going to give them a break. You're going to cut them some slack. And the closer you get to the person, the more slack you're going to have to cut them. Because the closer I get to you, the more flaws I see in you. And the same for me. Proximity magnifies the blemishes. Getting close magnifies the stuff that, oh, I didn't know about this. You know, I didn't know how this was going to work. And we begin to judge. Why is this important? Look, it's not just being nice to people. Jesus is saying, I want you to have my character in you. And Jesus loved so much that while he was hanging on the cross, he says, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Man, if you just plug that little one nugget right there into your marriage, into your work relationships, into your friendships, into your church relationships, into every relationship, into the person you don't even know next time you see them, man, how much better our world would be. The only way that law sets us free is when Jesus is in it. So we learn from James that true character is looking at Jesus. He's the mirror. He's the mirror. What are you mirroring yourself after? What reflection are you giving off? And if in the mirror you see Christ, then you're good. And what does that kind of look like? You see, part of the reason I think, and when I wrote this statement, I put it in all bolds, and I hope this blesses your life because it blessed me when I said it. Part of the reason that we have such a difficult time living in character for Christ is that we really don't see ourselves as a son or a daughter. That's right. We don't see ourselves as forgiven. When I was growing up, we sang this song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. And one of the lines in it was, for such a worm, somebody said it, I think, somebody said one, because they edited worm out later, they put the one in the new books, the new hymnals. Because somebody realized that we're not worms, we're the one. They changed the wording of the song in the book because they realized what I'm trying to teach me today. And that is, I am a son of God. I'm not defeated by sin. That doesn't mean I don't sin. It means I'm not defeated by it. It doesn't rule me. It doesn't hold me. It doesn't capture me. It doesn't even captivate me like it used to. Even the sins of lust and anger and frustration and all those that so many of us fight all the time, y'all, they don't even look good anymore. They don't even look good anymore. And when we continue to try to reach into those things, we're abdicating to the enemy the thing that he wants us to think, and that is that we're really not that important anyway. Just yesterday, speaking to a dear friend of mine, God bless him. He said, man, I'm lost. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I don't tithe anymore. I don't give anymore. I'm not loving like I should. And he just began to pour all these things out in me. He said, I have just become a wretched human being. And I'm writing this message. I've already had this message written. And I said, no, you're not. You're a son. Oh, another thing he said, I'm alone. And I said, well, you just insulted me then. You're not alone. You're not alone. Well, I just can't confess these sins to anybody. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have somebody in your life that you can say it all to, you need to repent of that today. Because that's freedom. Absolutely. And I just love being able to look at him and go, wait a minute, no, you're not. And Micah spoke this into my life because a couple weeks ago I said this thing, well, I don't know, man. And you don't get away with that around Micah. Because he said, well, no, what are you talking about? That's not who you are. And there's 100 other people in this room that will do the same thing for me. It's we have to start holding each other up in this. Because you're children of the King. You're saved by the grace and mercy of God. You didn't do a thing to get it. You didn't do a thing to earn it. And you can't do anything much to lose it. I think I used to teach so much against once saved, always saved, that I became this person of like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to die on a really, really good day. And God's going to have to be in a really good mood when I die. And I see him. He's going to have to say, well, you know, Keith, I don't know, man. Guys, I'm not going to inch my way into heaven. I'm going to bust it wide open. And you are too. You are too. We need to proclaim that to the world, because the world's going to hell. The world don't care anything about what they're drinking it up and partying it up and doing all the things that we all used to do. Some of us all used to do. They're doing all these things, man. And I just want to keep asking the question, where is that getting you? Where is that getting you? Come on, come be a child. Be a son or a daughter. You are a righteous person. You said, wait a minute. I said this to a guy one time. I said, man, I'm just not a righteous person or something. He said, well, I don't know what you're reading in the Bible, but the Bible says Jesus claimed you justified. You're made right. It's just on and on we could go with this, man. You are forgiven. Romans 6 says you're dead to your sins. That doesn't mean you don't sin. Paul readily admits. He said he was the chiefest of sinners, and he wrote 8 books of the New Testament. Says, stop trying to not sin. Just start living for God, and the not sinning will just kind of follow along. And when you figure out perfection, you let me know. Well, I've already figured it out. You don't have to let me know. Jesus is perfection. And you plug into the source, then he is who we are. And he's the reflection you see in your mirror. He is. So the two things as we end today, and the first one is, I just want to bring this kind of all to a kind of a head. And just some things, the concepts to help us live a joyous freedom. I hope you're hearing me say that I get just a little frustrated at myself because I don't give myself any breaks. Have you ever noticed that you give other people a lot more grace than you give yourself? Well, God's give you all the grace he can give you. He let Jesus die for you. Accept it. Accept it. Number one, the last 2 points of this. Number one is character builds faith. Character builds faith. How many of us know in here that in spite of everything I've said, faith is not easy? It's not. And it's this fight. Romans 7 talks about it. I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I need to do, I don't do. And Paul said, I'm in a straight betwixt the two. I'm just all racked up in this whole thought process of, I don't know how to get this right. And that's what my friend was saying yesterday. Is, man, every time I get it right, about 3 weeks later, I mess up again. Every time I get it right, about 3 weeks later, I mess up again. And I'm right back into this dregs of my thought processes. Man, I'm going to tell you something. It's not easy. Life deals you blows that are out of your control. And if you know, there might be some little bitty people in here that hasn't experienced that yet, but it's coming. You will be dealt blows that you can't handle. Somebody said, well, God will never put anything on you that you cannot bear. That is a devil's lie. That's not the Bible. He says he won't put any sin on you that you can't resist. But he doesn't say that he will always allow more on you than you can handle. You know why? So that you will trust him. Danielle had a major seizure last night. And she'll go back into this. We talked about this morning. She'll go back in. She's going to need everybody in this room praying for her. Because she'll go back into the thing. Well, that's just who I am. I just guess God ain't never going to take it away. And I guess I'm just going to be epileptic all my life. And she'll go into this dregs and all these things that I can't do and I might not be able to do, missing all the things that she does do. And I don't say that for any reason other than let you understand that her strength of character, she's not an epileptic. She's a daughter of God. She just is. The strength of character comes from God, and it teaches that faith is not believing that God's going to do everything I want him to do. Y'all, if we don't get the American God out of our head and put the God of the heaven in our head, we're not going to make it. This idiotic little G God that America's put up that says, well, God just up, there's a big Santa Claus in the sky. Just pray and he'll give you what you want. Jesus even said it. Just pray in faith and you'll have it, right? And you have to make a decision, and I do too, that we're either going to serve God or we're not. And we're not going to serve him when everything's going hunky-dory and wonderful. It's southern for good. Faith is believing that God is who he is, whether or not my circumstances line up with what I think that he ought to do or not do. And that's hard to learn. That's hard to learn. That's why I need people in my life like you, just to remind me, hey, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. Not who you are. Paul said in Romans 5:1-2, he said, since we have been made right. Everybody say made right. Made right. Look at your neighbor and say, I am right. Yeah, and not, don't look at your spouse and go, and you're wrong. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not how you follow that up. I'm right and you're wrong. No, no, no. No matter what the argument was about this morning or yesterday, guys, you're never right. Anyway. But we're made right. God makes you right. You're not right. We're all guilty because we've all broke the law, right? But we're saved by Him, so He makes us. He said, I made you right in God's sight by faith. And we have peace. Everybody say peace. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith. Because of our faith. He could have said, because you get it all right, or because you go to church enough, because you do enough communions, and you've been baptized enough times, and because. He said, because of your faith, Christ has brought us into this place of, everybody say, undeserved. It's undeserved privilege. You get to be who you are because of God, not because of you. It's like being born into affluence. If you were born into affluence, you didn't do anything to get it. You were just born into it, right? And we're just born from above into it. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. And by the way, we don't start sharing it then. We share it now. We share it now. So the person online who got on and said, ah, we don't, you can't have the glory of God, bada, bada, bada. I'm about to show you a verse, all right? It happens all the time. It's starting to happen more often. The bigger we get, the more this is going to happen. People are going to think, well, here's something y'all did that's wrong. And I love the gutless cowards that don't sign their emails. I can't shred those like I did the letter that we got sent today. But it frustrates me, man. If you're going to fuss at me, you tell me who you are. That's just Southern, sorry. That's not, maybe not even Jesus, but that's where I was, okay? Sorry. Number two, character defeats physical with the spiritual. And this is something I'm learning. And I hope you are too. I hope that over the last several months, I've carried you on a journey of my own spirit walk. And I'm hoping that you're getting that and you're hearing that. You see, when you feel like you can't overcome this life, remember, Holy Spirit lives in you. He does. We rejoice, Paul said in Romans 5, continuing that text. We rejoice, too, that we, when we run into problems, not if, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they develop, help us develop endurance. Endurance helps develop strength of character. Now, we understand this in the gym. You know, when you push against the weights, it builds the muscle. And endurance develops strength of character. And character develops or strengthens our confident hope of salvation. All of these things build on each other. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. That's why we don't have to walk around all down in the mouth about everything in this world. Because we're not living in disappointment. There's some things that people do that disappoint me, but I don't expect the world to act any differently than they do because that's who they are. Believers, it's a whole different ballgame. He said, it doesn't lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. Did y'all hear what he just said? When you start trying to figure out how in the world you're going to handle something in your life and how in the world am I going to do this and how in the world am I going to do that, stop trying to muster the strength to stop doing it. People say, how can I break porn addiction? Well, you can't by yourself. Nope. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. And you will. If you release that to Him. And the power of other people. The power of other people. And you put anything you want to in that blank. How are you going to handle anything it's given you? Here's a passage. Listen to this. We never give up. Our bodies are gradually dying. Come on, y'all that are almost 60 like I am. Y'all know what that verse is about, don't you? As slow as it is, I'm dying. So are you. And the little kids are going, no. I don't mean today. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we get in this world and we know that ultimately that's where it ends. He says, our bodies are dying, but we ourselves. Why didn't he say, our bodies are dying, but our... He just says, we ourselves. Well, I thought my body was part of myself. Well, there's something deeper here Paul is talking about other than just our physical being. We are dying. We are dying on the physical side, but we ourselves are being made stronger every day. We're strengthened day by day by day by day by day by day. And when you like my friend was yesterday, I don't even pray anymore. I don't know how to pray. I'm tired. I feel like God's not even listening to me anywhere. Anyway, I told him, I said, brother, you need to pray. That's when you need to pray. I don't know where in the world I'd be without prayer, y'all. I'd be so lost, man. I believe prayer is the catalyst for why our church is growing and people are growing and people are developing. It's because we don't wait till, we just try to head it off at the pass. I love prayer warriors that say, Lord, go before Pastor Keith and do this. Because God can see that over there. I can't see over there yet, but he can. So we call on him. For our present troubles, he says, are small and won't last very long. Now, how many of you are in a present trouble right now that doesn't feel small and doesn't feel like it's ever going to end? I told somebody beforehand, I said, yeah, present troubles are small, but only if they're your problems. They're small to me if they're your problems. But he says they don't last very long. And yet they produce for us a glory. There it is again, by the way. A glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. The glory gets produced here and will last forever if we will continually focus our life on the mirror of Christ and live in the perfect law that sets us free. I hope you've got this. If you didn't get it, I better say this now before I forget. And that is, when you come to Jesus Christ, there is nothing in the world you can bring to the table that makes you look any better than you're going to look right now. How many times have we heard, man, I'm going to get to church one day and I'm going to get my life straightened out and I'll come back to Jesus. Well, you can't come back to Jesus going to church. Church never saved anybody. It's full of the saved people. And we looking into the perfect law of liberty is looking at Jesus and saying, you know, Lord, I can't get it right. I'm doing my dead level best and I'm going to work and I'm going to praise and I'm going to honor you. But when I fail, I know that I have liberty because I'm trusting in you. Abraham was made who he was because of his faith. So the movement that we have in our life, the good that we do, is simply there because we're motivated from something deeper than the good we are doing. And too often we want to make it about the good that we are doing, instead of the good that Jesus has already done. We can feed people till the cows come home. But if we don't give them Jesus, what have we done for them? Y'all, I hope you're getting it. He says, so we don't look at our troubles. How many times have you ever seen somebody else in trouble and you say, well, look, you don't need to be looking at your trouble? Well, that's easy for you to say, isn't it? You're not up in it. He says, don't look at your troubles. We don't look at our troubles now. Rather, we fix our gaze. Everybody say, fix. We fix our gaze. In the South, when we're fixing to do something, we're about to do it. When you fix your mind on something, that means there's blinders on, man. You don't see anything but that. That is your goal. That's where you're after. That is your focus. He said, fix your gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, and the things we cannot see will last forever. It's a whole sermon, right? The most real things are the things that you can't see or buy or ride in, or live in. Praise God the Howisons have a job. This brother has a job. But can I bust your bubble for a second? You know how quickly that can be taken away. It just ebbs and flows, man. Think about my brother David. He'd love to be here every Sunday instead of sitting home. David, I love you, man. And physically just unable to get out and be here. And this brother, man, he used to ride motorcycles and just full of life. And physical ailments have just shut that down. We got people probably at home this morning that are just, I don't know. I'm just saying, listen, we've got to fix our mind on what matters. Fix our gaze on what matters. Focus our gaze. Remember the mirror we see. What we see in the mirror, by the way, will go away. It will. Oh, I did an illustration one time where I brought up like a preteen, and then a teen, and then a 20-something, and a 40-something, and a 50-something, and a 60-something, all the way down. I think we had an 80-something-year-old man on stage. And I came over here to this teenage boy, and he was all strapped, good-looking, muscles, you know, handsome kid. And he was embarrassed as all get out. He was very much an introvert, and I pulled this boy up on stage, scared him to death. He was as red as he could be. And I walked up behind him, and I said, see, girls, this is what they look like now. And I went down here to this guy. This is where they turn out. Guys, I'm just trying to get us to see that all that really matters in our world right now is following after Jesus in our life. Can I get an amen on that? Can I ask you to think about something? How is what you're doing right now working for you? Can we just end with that thought today? Prayer team, you guys come on down. Before we even stand up, I just want everybody to have a seat. Everybody, prayer team, come around. You guys who are guesting with us, our prayer team is going to be all around this room, front, back, sides, and around. And we would ask that if you have a prayer need, something in your life that you need to pray about, some sin you need to confess, you just need to put it out there. Because I don't know these people. You know what? I'm telling you, there is freedom in just saying, hey, I'm struggling with whatever it is. And these people are just some of the just amazing, amazing prayer warriors. So come. You can come and receive prayer at any point or any time. But while you're thinking, what is what you're doing now doing for you? What is your answer to your stress? What is your answer to being bummed? What is your answer to your guilt? Or like my friend yesterday, he wasn't in guilt. He was in shame. He was identifying himself by what the devil was telling him in his mind. And some of you are doing the same thing. You're fighting it every day. Well, I guess I'm just always going to be this way. This is the way it's going to be. Stop. Stop. And release all of that to the Father. Listen, I don't know what you're doing to answer your solutions or whatever. I don't know what diagnoses you've gotten. I don't know if you've lost a job. I don't know if your children are unruly. I don't know if you've made some bad parenting decisions. Maybe some of you young people, y'all just made some bad choices over the last few weeks or months or years, and you just keep making bad choices. You don't understand all those things. Listen, the answer will always be Jesus. You need to come and submit your life to Him. Surrender to Him. Step one is saying this: Jesus, you are Lord. That's the confession. He says, when you confess Jesus is Lord, Scripture says, you'll be saved. The idea, the concept of that is this. It is just taking that first step toward moving your life in the direction it needs to go. And I'm going to tell you something that God will not do. He will not force you to do it. Y'all, when I was a teenager, I used to say, well, Lord, if you'll just jerk me up like my mama does and wear me out, I'll probably be all right. Because I remember I would never get another spanking from her. She hit for distance. And He wants you to come of your own free will and to give your life over to Him so that you can experience the freedom of living in who you are, who you're supposed to be. Not yourself, not what the world is telling you. Just believe in yourself. Don't believe in yourself. Yourself will always let you down. It just will. Come. Stop hiding your past. Come now and be set free. Will you all stand with me, please? Let's stand together. You're going to have to release it, or you're going to always be slave to it. Let it go. Let it go. Give it to God. No longer a slave to it. Father, I love you. I honor you. I praise you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be, to get to do this, to get to bring your message, Lord. And I just pray you'll overrule my inconsistencies and my silliness and the things that, Lord, just overrule anything that I may have done to get in the way of the message that just simply says that Jesus is our freedom. And I pray, Father, for people right now all over this room who are making decisions for you. I pray, God, that you will bless them. Lord, they need to feel and sense the presence of your Spirit to not be afraid of that, but to step into the prompting that you're giving them right now, to take a step, to make a move, to be different, to be called.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God because of what you've done. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child.
To him, your will. Give up your will. Let him be. Stop hiding. Come now and be set free. Come on, y'all. Time and time again, I am a child of God. 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 Man, it's just, it's amazing, really, that he allows us to be in his family. Man, we're so glad you guys came today. I'm excited to be back up here, but I'm so glad that God gave me the opportunity to preach again. I've just enjoyed it so much this morning. I hope that you've learned something today. I know I have. Just watching you guys. I appreciate you being here. We would like to ask that if you are a guest with us and you're new and or never have done this before, please, right now, just look in the chair in front of you. If you're on the front row, the one behind you, and grab that card out of there and just fill it out. We want to be able to come to your house and get all your social security numbers and your money. And we'd like to do that today if we could, please. You know I'm kidding. We're not going to bother you, but we do want to send you some information about our church and just give you an invite to be back. And we just let you know that we appreciate you coming and being a part of this. We also practice every week. We practice the blessing. It's the blessing of the tithe. And this is not for our guests. This is for our people that are here, our partners in our church. We don't use the word member. We use the word partner. We've partnered together to do work in this community here at Discovery Church. And so when you guys leave today, if you haven't, most of you are probably already given online. But if you haven't done that, there are two little black boxes as you leave. Please drop your tithe in there. And I promise you'll be blessed for that. And again, that's just being faithful. It's trusting God with what he's given you and to give that back to him. So we appreciate your doing that. God bless you guys. Man, you guys are guests with us. Hang out with us a little bit. We love you. We're glad you're here. Have a good day.